From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on May 7th of last year when the presidential race was still blissfully far from dominating our attention. Writing for Bustle.com, Brittany Stahlsberg published a piece titled, "Voting for Hillary Clinton Because She's a Woman is a Perfectly Valid, Not to Mention Smart, Political Decision." She went on to argue that despite what voters say, most Americans do not base their voting decisions on rational, informed calculations. For example, some voters in 2004, more than a few, told pollsters they chose George W. Bush because he seemed like a guy they'd rather have a beer with. And if that's good enough, why not, Stahlsberg wondered, choose a candidate based on gender? The piece also contended that the transformational impact of a female president would be remarkable, potentially outweighing some individual disappointments. Well, fast forward to the past week in New Hampshire. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright has been introducing Clinton at rallies, saying that, quote, "There's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women." Feminist icon Gloria Steinem said on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher that young women supporting Bernie Sanders are just following the boys. So we wondered, do progressive women have any obligation to vote for the woman in this race? Let me welcome my panel for the hour. Dr. Barbara Lee Savoy is here, the chair of the Women and Gender Studies program at the College of Brockport. Dr. Lee Savoy, nice to have you back.
Oh, thanks so much, Evan.
Zari Camare is here. She's a science librarian. She's supporting Hillary Clinton. Nice to have you here, Zari.
Thank you.
Also here is Mary Lupien, a delegate for Bernie Sanders in the 25th Congressional District. And Mary, nice to have you back as well.
Glad to be back. Thanks.
Let's just be fair. Let's get both comments in their full context. I'm going to start with Madeleine Albright. This is former Secretary of State Albright at a rally in New Hampshire this past Saturday, and here's what she said.
We can tell our story about how we climb the ladder, and a lot of you younger women don't think you have to, it's been done. It's not done, and you have to help. Hillary Clinton will always be there for you, and just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Okay, Gloria Steinem on Real Time with Bill Maher. And she is obviously one of the most famous spokespeople of the feminist movement. And this was what she had to say about younger women backing Bernie Sanders.
She does have a huge gender gap and race gap. I mean,
huge.
Yeah, women are more for her than men are. And she has.
But not younger women.
The black.
They're more for Bernie.
It depends where you ask. But I do think
America.
That Bernie.
No. Oh, really?
It's kind of not fair to measure most women by the standard of most men because they're going to get more activist as they grow older. And when you're young, you're thinking, you know, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie or, you know.
Ooh. Now, if I said that.
No.
Yeah, they're for Bernie because that's where the boys
no,
are.
No, no. But it's
swap
not.
Me. Come
no,
on.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't because the boys are saying whether. No, I mean, hello. What do you? How well do you know me? Okay.
Right. Okay. Not that well.
Now, Steinem did go on to publish her own kind of apology to that. She wrote on Facebook, quote, "In a case of talk show interruptus, I misspoke on the Bill Maher show recently and apologize for what's been misinterpreted as implying young women aren't serious in their politics. Whether they gravitate to Bernie or Hillary, young women are activist and feminist in greater numbers than ever before." So that's what Steinem said as a follow-up. So all that out of the way, this hour we're talking about these kind of comments and any obligation that women have. So let me start with Dr. Lee Savoy, who's been thinking a lot about this as we've been having these conversations publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start with the basic obvious one. Is Madeleine Albright correct? Do progressive women have any obligation to choose the woman in this race?
I think it's an unfair question, and I think it burdens women unfairly. One of the things that I wrestle with as I consider the question is we don't actually ask men, are you voting for a male candidate because he's a man? So I think to presume that women have an obligation or should choose a candidate based on gender is a flawed premise. That's not to disregard the challenges that Clinton faces as a woman candidate or to not disregard the challenges that we have as women in fighting a feminist struggle and in pushing forward a feminist agenda. But I think the question itself is very much shortchanges and simplifies what's very complex and complicated as a question.
Okay, well, you know, Ms. Albright did address this and she has continued to say this. Unlike Ms. Steinem, she has not backed off her comments.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard her in that bite say, it's not done, that this work of moving toward equality is far from done. And she's concerned that too many young women don't embrace that idea, that they think, well, that's sort of a need of the past, that we've made too much progress. We don't have to focus on that anymore. And yeah, Barb, what do you think?
I do think there is as I look at the generations, I think there is a divide between the way I experience the world and my students, for example. So I do think that there's a difference in younger voters. And I would argue that younger voters are a little bit more seduced by the Bernie Sanders campaign for reasons that we can probably get to later on in the conversation. I do, however, see in my teaching, I have incredible confidence in students. And I do think there's a new level of engagement. I think there's a new level of activism. And I think my students are really smart, that young people are smart. And in fact, I would argue that the contest that Clinton is facing right now is largely because of this level of engagement.
Okay. And but I want to ask our other panelists what they think when they heard what, for example, what Madeleine Albright said. But Barb, you said in watching the video, you thought Hillary Clinton's reaction was almost uncomfortable.
Yeah, so I just want to say this one point, that when I watched the video, I did kind of sense a very nervous laughter as I was watching Hillary. And I felt that it was difficult for her, that she was standing next to Madeleine Albright, someone that's very big and important, and was thrilled to have that back. But I also felt that the comment itself was difficult for her, and that as she laughed, it was very much a nervous laughter. She doesn't want to send anyone to hell, not only women that might not support her, but she's a candidate for everyone. And so there was a little bit of difficulty there.
Zara, you are a Clinton supporter.
Yes.
What did you make of it when you heard what the former Secretary of State said about women supporting women? Are you feeling obligated to support a woman in this race?
I don't feel obligated that I have to support a woman, because I think it's actually an unfair thing to say, because we are supposed to be judged based on our qualifications. Are we qualified to do a job? Is Hillary qualified to be the president of the United States? And I basically evaluate her as all the things she's passionate about, all her policies, things she's putting forward, not based on the fact that she's a woman. I think it's unfair to her to say that, we have to vote for her because she's a woman.
Do you have any additional excitement about the prospect of her presidency because she's a woman?
No, it's really based on her policies, not because of and her passion, not because she's a woman.
Okay, Mary Lupien is supporting Bernie Sanders. What did you think when you heard what Madeleine Albright said?
Well, if there's a special place in hell for me, I'd rather burn.
You'd rather B-E-R-N
That's
or
right.
B-E-R-N? Is that the statement? I have missed that. I'm usually pretty hip to what people are saying. Okay, I got it. I got what you said there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm very upset by it. And, I disagree with Madeleine Albright. I don't think especially the ones that I know, I don't think we think it's done. I graduated with a degree in information technology, and I've experienced sexism all the way through my career, and I continue to experience it. The work is not done. That said, part of what I think women have fought for is for me to be able to make my choice based on the content of someone's character and not because of their gender or their race or any other quality that doesn't speak to what their qualifications are. And I think that Bernie is the better candidate.
Do you think he is a better candidate, would be a better president for women's issues?
I do. I think his voting record on women's issues is spotless. And it's not just limited to equality for women. His platform is equality for all.
How much do you want to see a woman president?
Of course I want to see a woman president. But I don't think that a woman president would necessarily be any better than a man. I think that we have different strengths and weaknesses, but I don't think having a woman in office is the magic bullet to bring world peace. And especially not a woman who's so strongly backed by the corporations. I don't see that as changing the status quo very much.
Okay. What I want to do is also work in a lot of our audience feedback. We've had a lot, as you might imagine, online already. We'll get to some of those comments. And you can call the program to weigh in as well. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're right here in Rochester, 263-9994. I want to start with Shelby, who's on the line, who is, Shelby, my understanding, also a Bernie Sanders supporter, yes? Hi, Shelby, are you there?
I am, hello.
Oh, there you are. Okay, so are you a Bernie Sanders supporter?
So I have been advocating for Bernie myself. I've been looking into him a lot. I'm still feeling kind of undecided, although I am leaning towards him as a candidate, yeah.
Okay, so what do you make of it as a young voter yourself, considering Sanders, maybe leaning that way, but still technically undecided? What do you make of it when you heard what Albright and Steinem said?
So I think that it's pretty interesting. It's a hard kind of between a rock and a hard place. So I remember in 2008, when Hillary was running for president against President Obama, my dad was actually the first one of our family to kind of introduce him as a candidate against Hillary, which we were all for, because she was our senator, we loved her. And my mom, I remember, he said to my dad that she would never not vote for Hillary Clinton, that she was voting for Hillary Clinton because she was a woman, and that was the best thing to do, the right thing to do. And I kind of feel similarly now. I think that bashing women for not supporting Hillary is pretty backwards and goes against a lot of tenets of feminism as a concept. I think that women shouldn't have an obligation to vote for somebody based on their gender. It's true equality is you know, voting for the best candidate regardless of their gender, their race. So, you know, I am trying to look at this objectively and try to make my own personal informed choice. So I think that saying that we don't support Hillary because we're not voting for her, or we're not engaged in politics because we're going toward where the boys are, is pretty backwards and definitely problematic.
Shelby, somebody asked you one more question, though, because all of a sudden every single phone line is lit up and people want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Shelby, you know, Gloria Steinem, I know you referenced her comment that you're kind of gravitating toward the boys are, et cetera, and she's kind of walked that back. But Madeleine Albright has said about this concern that maybe generationally we see a lot of younger voters supporting Sanders over Clinton. And in fact, let me see here, just grabbing the latest in the polls. From the LA Times on February 4th, women 29 and younger voted for Sanders by a margin of almost 6-1 in Iowa. So it's a blowout on the young vote. And, you know, in general, we may see Sanders win women in New Hampshire and in other states. Now, I'm not somebody who thinks this race is going to go all the way to a convention, or Mary Lupien's not going to like hearing this, but I'd be surprised if this goes on the way Obama-Clinton did, but it could. Yeah. It could. And Albright is saying, okay, if you are a younger women voter, she doesn't want to hear young women saying, I'm choosing the best candidate, and, you know, we've made a lot of progress. It's more important to choose the best candidate, and I don't view the struggle the same way other generations did. Do you view the struggle in any way similar? Have you talked to your mother about it, for example? Do you feel that there's still a lot of work to be made toward equality?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember there was a quote by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and somebody asked her, you know, when will enough female Supreme Court justices be enough? And she said, when all of them are. And that was because... You know, if it's acceptable for every single Supreme Court justice to be male, then it won't be enough until it's all female. And I agree. I think that, like, there's always going to be progress to be made. I would love to see a female president. I think we need to see a female president. But just touching on what you said briefly before that, I just had a thought. I think the reason that a lot of young women voters are voting for Bernie is because he's advocating for youth. The youth problem, I think a lot of young people see their concerns being validated by him, regardless of gender. I think student loan debt and health care and all sorts of things like that, that's all, you know, transcends gender. That's just a problem for young people. And I haven't heard, you know, Hillary talk as much about that. So I think that's probably why. But touching on what you said just a minute ago about equality and steps you made, obviously I think there's tons of progress to be made still.
Shelby, thanks for the phone call, and a great way to lead off the audience response. And just going down through Twitter, you know, I just generally ask the question, do you agree with Madeleine Albright here? Is there an obligation for progressive women to vote for the woman in the race? Leanna says, Hell no. Mm-hmm. Kathy says, no, I've really agonized over my choice and felt some guilt for not supporting Hillary Clinton. It's not fair for them to pile on. Elizabeth, mm-hmm. who describes herself as a proud feminist, says, not even a little. It adds fuel to the argument that feminists are pushing for female superiority, trying to make men lesser. Mm-hmm. We can have Dr. Lisa Foy weigh in on that in a moment. Andrea emails, I won't apologize for considering gender. I ultimately don't see much difference between Sanders and Clinton, despite the rhetoric, and it is way past time to put a woman in the White House, and I do not mean as first lady. So that's from Andrea. So a quick cross-section before we get to, again, the phone's blown up on this. Mm-hmm. But let me also ask an important question here. I think there's a lot of talk about, do you support the woman in the race, whether it's Carly Fiorina on the Republican side, Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, because there's one. And there's a little mm-hmm. bit of too much self-congratulations because there's one woman in the race. Mm-hmm. Now, I think if Elizabeth Warren had gotten in, this would probably be a two-person race right now, and it would be Warren and Clinton. Mm-hmm. And the consideration over voting for a woman would probably be over at that point because mm-hmm. a woman would be the nominee. But at some point, Dr. Lisa Foy, we've got to get to a point where it's not, hey, there's mm-hmm. one woman in the race. Don't we feel good about this? Mm-hmm. You know, we're not seeing much, you know, as much as it feels like we're moving towards equality, it's still a very low number of women who even elevate to that race.
Yeah, and I think the circumstances there speak volumes to the conversation and the burden that we're all struggling with. So I would love to see a woman president. It's long due. I'm a feminist, and I'm very, very familiar with and intimate with the struggle for women's rights. But I think that's a different conversation than who's the best candidate. And to impose the burden on feminists and women who are fighting for equality to say that you must have an obligation to support someone because she is a female candidate is flawed. And it shortchanges the movement. It shortchanges equality. It shortchanges feminism. That's not to say that I say this, you know, from my heart, we are so ready for women to take the lead. And I think when we see that, and when I say that, we also must recognize that there's a large barrier. There are large obstacles that female candidates are facing because they're carrying a question of, are they strong enough? Do we have confidence in them in the same way that we have confidence in men? And there's a piece of me that looks at the Bernie Sanders campaign and feels like, what a great package. He's got like the cool dude thing going on. And that's very seductive. That's not the same comment as Steinem saying that young voters are being, you know, seduced by this because he's a man. I'm saying it's more of this kind of package of Vermont and kickback and laid back. Clinton is very much criticized for being intense, screaming, talking loud.
Which of those are all sexist dog whistles, aren't they?
They come largely with this baggage of criticism towards women.
You watch these debates and somebody is complaining that Hillary Clinton is now she's speaking a little too loudly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Don't you think they say the same things about Bernie Sanders?
Well, Bernie Sanders has been sort of lampooned a little for being the loud old guy, right? Sure, yeah, and I understand that. But I do think there's a bit of a special distinction. There's much more likely to be somebody complaining, and I see it on social media all the time, that, well, Hillary is now she's sounding shrill. And that just feels like a sexist dog.
She's in a bad mood. I've read comments from media afterwards that I wonder if she was in a bad mood. So I think some of this is a burden that she carries as a woman, as a female candidate. That's unfair. And so it does circle back around to the question of, you know, introducing the burden of, should we vote for someone just because she's a woman, because it's due time that we elect a woman, is a flawed question. Should we vote for a candidate that can bring us forward, that can lead our country? Yes. And should we recognize some of the struggles behind who the candidates are and what they bring into their candidacy is very, very important conversation.
Mary, you winced a little bit at a few of those.
Yeah, well, we were talking before about the cool dude image, and I think it's less about Bernie being from Vermont and being laid back and cool as it is what he's talking about mm-hmm. is really cool. Justice is cool with young people right now. And I think if Elizabeth Warren were in his place, she would be getting the same exact fanfare from hipsters as Bernie is. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. it's a great point, and I'm very sensitive to that. I think what happens is we become somewhat indoctrinated, the social constructions around these categories of identity push at us in ways that kind of get at messaging that might be true or not true. So I mm-hmm. think your point is great about some of the things that the Sanders campaign stands behind, mm-hmm. and those are things that are really pulling people in with substance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Zari, are you concerned? Here's another comment from Twitter. As a young woman, I felt belittled and condescended to by Albright and Steinem's comments. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing a number of comments like that. And are you concerned that the candidate you support, Hillary Clinton, could be actually hurt by some of the messaging from Madeleine Albright, Gloria Steinem?
I'm actually very concerned because you hear things like that and, you know, is that a religious message that you're going to go to hell for not supporting Hillary Clinton?
I thought it was sort of intentionally flippant, but, you know.
And Clinton has a lot of good values and has a lot of good ideas for moving the country forward and is a world leader. So why aren't we talking about that? And we're talking about you're going to go to hell if you don't support Hillary. I think it was extreme. Yes, I am concerned. Fair to Hillary.
I think she could have laughed, smiled, and then said, listen, I love Madeleine. We're great friends. I respect her. And I understand her point, but I don't want people to feel like they must vote for me. I want people to feel like they should vote for me.
I wish she had said that.
You know,
yes.
She could have said that.
Yes.
Perfect response.
That would have been sort of a split-the-middle skilled line, and she kind of let it go. Fair, Barb?
I think it's fair. I'll go back to sensing a little discomfort and watching her body language and her laugh. So I think that if we could go back 5 minutes, she might say that.
It's hard in the moment.
It's hard in the moment, but I do sense her discomfort. And I do agree that that did more damage than really helped her because I think she doesn't, I would argue, she doesn't agree.
All right, let me grab Jennifer in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, I called to say I'm not a young woman. I am in my 50s. I am an ardent feminist, and I support Bernie Sanders. And the reason I support Bernie Sanders is because Hillary and I don't have the same perspectives on the issues that matter. She's pro-fracking. She is pro-death penalty. She's pro-war. She believes that it's fine that corporations run the government of this country. She is supported by the banks that bankrupted us. She and I do not agree on things. Bernie Sanders is the man for the job, the man who I agree with. He has real points. And the fact that I'm a feminist tells me I can pick whoever I want to. I'm also an atheist, and I think Madeleine Albright went off the rails.
Jennifer, thanks for the phone call. It's an important reminder because to some degree, there's a risk of marginalizing female Sanders supporters as just young, just college students. And that's not fair. Everyone on this panel, I think, agrees. That's not fair.
It's not true from what I've seen.
Yeah. And Zari, even you were shaking your head. You don't think that's fair to Sanders supporters, do you?
I don't think it's fair, no.
There's a diverse level of support for all of the candidates. And so, Jennifer, I appreciate that point. Let me get Michael and Henrietta next up. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi. You know, I wanted to comment on this whole thing because I just think that what Gloria Steinem and Madeleine Albright were saying has a lot to do with the fact that Hillary Clinton has lived her life empowering women. And I think that that's something that shouldn't be lost. I mean, there's women of 20, 30 years ago weren't empowered as they are today. And you need to honor that. And if you figure that both are liberal candidates, you might as well support someone who has really put young women, especially, in a position where they can be as empowered as they are today.
Michael, thanks for the phone call. Let me start with Mary
sure.
Lupien, Sanders supporter. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to say that her support, while it may be from her heart, can, in my mind, be bought by corporations. And there's an interview with Elizabeth Warren from 2004 speaking about a bankruptcy bill that was around when she was first lady. And Elizabeth Warren explained to her how it would hurt women and children. And she got it, and she got her husband, Bill, to veto the bill. But when she was senator, she voted for that same bill. And so I I believe that she, in her heart, is, you know, has a special place for women, but I don't think that that will carry forward in the light of corporate interests.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
go ahead, Dr. Lisa Boy.
I just want to thank the caller for his comments. I do think it's so important that we not lose sight of the fight and the struggle and the important women who have come before us, who have championed our rights. I think that Hillary has a remarkable record here. And it's an important piece to her campaign. So I just want to say thanks. We should honor that. Absolutely.
Boy, the emails are so split and occasionally really, really fiery, which, you know, which is interesting. You know, so for example here, let me just kind of give you two examples. Naomi writes, as a 60-year-old woman, I agree with Madeleine Albright and I want to vote for Hillary Clinton, but I think that income inequality is the biggest issue facing women because income inequality is power inequality and Bernie Sanders gets that. Elizabeth Warren is the woman I want to vote for president. That's from Naomi. And let me read a comment from Harriet. Again, little fire here. Harriet says, some female supporters of Sanders call themselves feminists. And frankly, I find that offensive as someone who has marched, petitioned, educated, and lived the discrimination that women have dealt with for so long. People shouldn't vote for a particular gender if they think that person is not up for the job. But to say that Hillary Clinton isn't up for the job and has not made a huge dent in our quest for women's equality is to be ignorant of her history. What has Bernie done for women? Hillary has really toiled in our name, and I find it sad that these young women don't recognize that. Truthfully, I don't think 80-year-old Gloria Steinem should have apologized for her comment about Bernie's women. It was honest and observant, and someday these young women will look back on their lives, just as we have, and reflect on the inequalities they've had to deal with, too. I will not be voting in the general election if Hillary is not on the ballot. The pro-gun Bernie has the same base as Trump supporters. Misogyny is not only the domain of men. Harriet.
Wow. There's that one person that I said I hadn't heard yet. I had not heard someone who would not vote for Bernie if he was as a Democratic nominee. There we go.
What do you think, Dr. Lisa Boy, as someone with your background, and again, she's the chair of the Women and Gender Studies program at the College of Brockport. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really challenging. So I want to say on one level, I'm feeling like a little bit of anger because I feel like this takes women and feminism and puts it in the wrong space. It's couched incorrectly. It's flawed. It's unfair. It misleads and shortchanges us in so many ways. So there's a piece of this that we must remember the struggle. We're in an intense fight right now. Women's equality is still looming in front of us. We need to reach for pay equity. We must protect women's reproductive rights. The ERA and CEDAW are out there. These are all things that are true and real. But to take a position that this is only a Hillary Clinton resolution is flawed. And that's not to say that I don't support Hillary. It's just a narrow way to position and couch the issues.
Okay, Mary?
Yeah, I also want to say that, you know, it kind of shortchanges women in the fact that we are not marching and petitioning for things that are important. And one of the main reasons that I am for Bernie Sanders, above all else, is that I am a climate change activist, and he is the only candidate that is out there making changes. And that I am marching and petitioning for, and I care about, in terms of it will affect future generations and my children. And as a woman, I care about that deeply.
Go ahead, Dr. Lisa Boy, because then I want to ask Zari about the pay equality thing,
right.
Because I want to get the Clinton supporters' view on whether she's doing enough there. But you went away in the follow-up there. Go ahead.
I do think some of the issues that Hillary represents are analogous to some of the Sanders pieces. So I think campaign to campaign, we could look at the substance behind that. I think if we go back to the gender question, one of the things that I do see that's problematic is that I think that Hillary brings with her candidacy some prior baggage, which is Bill, and which is, you know, the package of, you know, corporate politicians. So I feel like there's an unfair, she's somewhat, you know, carrying an unfair extra piece that Sanders does not have. And so we are scrutinizing and putting her through multiple questions in ways that, you know, are quite different from the Sanders campaign. So I'm sensitive to that. And I feel that we should think about that as we go to the polls and recognize these other pieces that come with her candidacy.
Now, we've heard from a couple of emailers, Zari Camarey, who's a science librarian and a Clinton supporter, about pay inequality. And one of our emailers was saying, look, Naomi was saying that is a big issue for women because we have a pay gap. And that Senator Sanders is speaking more forcefully about that. And that Naomi wishes we had Senator Warren in the race. We don't. But she is concerned that Secretary Clinton is not good enough on pay inequality for women. You're a science librarian. You know, here you are supporting Clinton. What do you make of that issue?
I personally think that Hillary has also addressed that. And would, as president, fight for us. But I also want to go back to the previous discussion and say that if Bernie is the nominee, I will vote for him because I do like some of his some of the issues he's fighting for.
Don't you think most Sanders supporters will come to Clinton the same way Clinton supporters went to Obama? And I remember in 2007, 2008, that same question. I will not vote for that person if they're the nominee. There's one candidate in this entire race who I think that's true of, and I think it's Trump. His ceiling is very low. Ted Cruz maybe may have some issue, but I think the Republicans will generally unite if it's not Trump, and I think the Democrats will generally unite. Don't you?
Yes. Yes,
and you're saying as a voter, you want to see Clinton, but you wouldn't have any compunction about voting for Bernie.
I will vote for Bernie, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and Mary and I have already talked about that on this program. She's open to it. She's thinking about it, but she doesn't want to get there yet. You want Sanders to be the nominee. So it's hard to believe right now that many Sanders supporters wouldn't, but I understand emotionally and intellectually what they're saying about why. I'm late for a break. I want to get to a break and your phone calls because, again, we're lit up and we're talking about this question that's been raised on the campaign trail. Do women have an obligation, particularly progressive women, women who self-identify as feminists, to support Hillary Clinton in this race? Short break and more of your comments and phone calls are next. Coming up in our second hour, we talk about the future of tipping in restaurants. Danny Meyer, restaurateur, says no more tipping in his restaurants. He's raising prices, and he's not allowing customers to tip anymore. He says it's better for the service staff and will lead to a better experience for diners. But those pushing back say there's a value in the tip, and we'll talk about that next hour.
New Hampshire voters have lined up in the snow to hear the pitch from presidential candidates. Just a week after the Iowa caucuses, it's the first in the nation primary. Donald Trump hopes to bounce back among Republicans. Bernie Sanders hopes to notch his first win with the Democrats. Whatever happens, we'll bring you the story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Hi, welcome back to Connections. A lot of people weighing in, and let me get Elle in Rochester next. Go ahead, Elle.
Hi. I'd like to begin by saying I'm a senior who's been an activist all my life, and I'm living in hell. So, you know, I'd like to get out, and that's why I'm burning for change. I had to come back, even find myself, and I wrote a book, and I went, when I was going through the courts, and it was really bad, and I've been a champion for women and children all my life, and I would love to see a woman leader, but I need Bernie at this time, and I went to every person, every woman leader in this town I went to 26 years ago to try to get help and couldn't get any help, and I have gone, I wrote a book, and it took me 10 years because I had to pull myself out of so much. And many of them said, I don't read. I went to all of them. And these would be ones, for the most part, supporting Hillary. I saw Hillary's assistants twice because I worked all these years for the DNC. I never heard anything. I wrote a letter when I felt for Bill. I got a beautiful letter back. And then I wrote about the issue. I never heard anything. So, I feel like these particular women, and right now I'm in contact with Gloria Steinem's office because I saw her on Charlie Rose, and she said that we need to listen to the people at the bottom. When it comes to my mind, I don't see myself at the bottom. When it comes to my income, I do. And she said for the people at the bottom not to shut up. So I contact their office. I have my book and my latest speech to them, which is titled, Where's the Safety in Our Safety Net? So I need Bernie because Bernie is more like me. And I could sit at the table with Bernie and he would hear me and he would find a way to do something about it. I did speak to one, an assistant who read my book. She said, everything you're doing is correct. And this was Louise Slaughter's assistant. Keep up what you're doing, but don't get angry.
All right. Well, let me let the panel weigh in on some of what they just heard there. Obviously, Mary Lupe, and there's a Bernie Sanders supporter who's not a young college student.
Right.
and we've been seeing that. Dr. Lisa Voya, what do you think of what you just heard there?
You know, I first of all, thank you for your comments, and I'm sensitive to your circumstances. I think one of the interesting things that resonated me when I was listening is this whole presumption of sameness. The caller mentioned that Saunders is the same. And so if it's the question that we're reaching for someone who replicates and reproduces our own circumstances, our own issues, I think that, you know, that's a significant piece here. And perhaps that circles back around to looking at Hillary as someone who represents who I am as a woman. But I think it's a bigger, more, much more complex issue. So, you know, to go to the candidate because he's your mirror. I think we've got to look beyond that. The problems are so much bigger than that.
We have a comment from a listener named Mike in Rochester who called in off air to say that he's a black male who supported Obama because he is black, but he is not supporting Ben Carson, and he wants to know why can't women make these same decisions? They should have the same rights to make their own decisions. I would just say, Mike, if you're the kind of a voter who supported Obama because he's black but not Ben Carson, you're probably the type of person who is actually supporting progressive values, and you find maybe extra incentive to support some. We had never had a black president. You know how easy it is for white people to just ignore, white males especially, to just ignore the fact that we've never had a woman president. We had never had a black president. And if you're a progressive and all things are largely equal, why wouldn't you gravitate towards someone if you are a woman who's a female candidate, or if you're African-American to a black candidate? I think that makes sense. I understand what Mike is saying intellectually. I actually don't think, based on his comment, he just voted for Obama just because he's black. I think it sounds like he saw a transformational candidate who seemed to support many of his values. I think it's somewhat natural. Is it somewhat natural if all things are equal to look for that historical opportunity?
If all things are equal, yes, I would look for that historical opportunity. But still, we have to think about this country has to move forward. This country has to lead in the world. Women have to progress. There are healthcare issues. There are political issues. And I think we still have to vote for the person who can handle these the best.
And if you just join us again, she's talking about, for her, Hillary Clinton, but not based on a gender, but based on record qualifications, policy plans as well here. So let me get back to your phone calls. And we have, let's see here, next up, let me go to Jackie in Fairport. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hi. I want to point out what Ralph Nader said on Tavis Smiley's show about a week and a half ago. I don't have the exact date, but you could probably look it up and play it. He had Ralph Nader on for the first part. And just in the last minute, that 30 seconds is what I would put on a Bernie Sanders commercial. And Ralph Nader looked at the camera and said about Hillary that she's a hawk in his fierce, scary face way. And it was a direct challenge to ask her to disclose what she said behind closed doors to Wall Street groups that she will not reveal. And he was demanding that she reveal this information. And it just left me with, wow, that's a good commercial. And I don't think anybody saw it. So it was about a week ago. And that way, you know, Ralph Nader said it, not Bernie. So, I mean, that should be used.
Jackie, thanks for the phone call. This is Mary Lupien's big issue here. And if you watched the last debate, I thought that was the weakest moment for Hillary Clinton when she was asked, will you reveal the transcripts of what you told the big banks when you were paid $675,000 to speak to them? And she said, well, I'll look into it. But, you know, and now Politico is doing some digging and trying to dig in a little bit more of that. I assume you're going to agree with what you just heard there.
In a sense, I would say that it's not the best commercial for Bernie Sanders, because I don't like the idea of her being called out as being a hawk. I think that that is sexist. And
But isn't there an argument that says men can be called hawks or neocons?
Have you heard of a man being called a hawk before?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I think it's something that becomes more sexy on a man than derogatory for women.
Okay. Yeah.
That comment aside, I agree that. I mean, that's the main issue here for me, and I've said this before. This election is about nothing other than corporate control of government and not corporate control of government. And the only candidate I see that will not run our country and our foreign policy for the interests of corporations is Bernie Sanders.
Okay. Let's ask the Clinton supporter to kind of come back with that. Does her record on Wall Street worry you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And actually, the comment about her getting $600,000 for a speech, men get that all the time. So why is it a problem for a woman?
I don't necessarily think it's a problem for a woman. I think some voters think it's a problem for whoever you are. Mm-hmm. That's probably what you agree with that,
definitely.
Mary?
Definitely.
Yeah. Or disclosing
Although I heard today that Bernie Sanders accepted $200,000 from Goldman Sachs, which is kind of a huge
Did anybody not? Has anybody not been to Goldman Sachs? Is it a rule?
It's a misrepresentation. It's a total misrepresentation, because what they're talking about there is his acceptance of public matching funds from the Democratic
Party,
which,
you're saying that's an unfair smear, not the same.
Oh, totally.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. It totally is, but okay. I was making a joke.
Okay. All right. Bob in Pittsford is next up. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, good afternoon. This isn't the first time that we've had to deal with this. When Sarah Palin ran, I remember my wife was asked if she was going to be supportive of Sarah, and my wife just didn't like Sarah Palin at all and said no. And her friends were kind of dumbfounded and upset with her not supporting a woman. And as my wife said, I'm happy to support a woman if she's the correct candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So to support a woman just for the fact of supporting a woman, I completely disagree with. Mm-hmm. And I find that most people would probably rather have the correct person in, regardless of gender.
Thank you, Bob. It's an interesting comment. I think you go back to 2008 and the selection of Sarah Palin. If her name was Steve Palin, with Steve Palin's qualifications and intellect, she had never been on a national ticket.
Absolutely.
And we can just be honest about that. I mean, read the new book. We're going to talk to Matt Lewis later this week. You'll hear the interview next week, called Too Dumb to Fail. It's written by a conservative, an evangelical and a conservative, who says the party has gone so far away from intellectual elites that they somehow put Sarah Palin in a place to almost get to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that has got to change for conservatives to start winning. And if you're a progressive, you should read this book and be a little frightened if people start listening. It's a very smart book.
So I think
what we learned is you can't just put any person on a ticket and hope that identity politics will win. Because I don't think it worked. What do you think?
I don't think it works. And I think there's a danger. I agree with the caller. There's a danger in just gravitating towards a category of identity as the solution. It's not to overlook or recognize that there are indeed important and very significant struggles in front of women. We do not have enough women leaders. There are barriers to women taking on these higher positions in politics. This is real. But to gravitate towards a candidate because of a candidate's identity is shortchanging us.
All right. I think everyone is agreeing there. Let me read some very different comments. Sarah writes to the program and says, I changed from the Green Party to vote for Trump in the primary. I am a small businesswoman who aligns with conservatives. We exist. We're not just Bernie and Clinton voters. And Sarah goes on to say, based on your panelist comments, the real place in hell is reserved for Republican female voters. These kinds of feminists dehumanize people like me.
What?
Dr. Lisa Voy, what do you think?
Oh, I would tend to, first of all, I would struggle with the categorizing feminist in that way. We are progressive and supportive of equality for all people. So this is an important piece of the platform. So I have to take issue.
Okay. she's smiling. I think that she's trying to hold it back a little bit there. Any other thoughts there? Zari, what do you think of Sarah's comments there?
I disagree with her comments. I immigrated to this country for equality, for democracy. And I respect people who are Democrats. I respect people who are Republicans and otherwise.
You respect women who vote for Trump.
I respect women who they have a right to their idea. I came from a place where there was no respect for the other side.
Okay.
So,
Mary, I know you're jumping in there.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm confused, I guess, why someone from the Green Party who is concerned about the environment would switch to support a candidate who thinks that climate change is a hoax created by the Chinese. So, just curious.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I just have so many comments that we could work through here. You know, Linnell, kind of another Sarah Palin comment. I feel like the people suggesting that women should vote for Hillary just because she's a woman were not singing the same tune about Sarah Palin. I think that was more less overt, but more of a, you know, why was she on the ticket to begin with question. Doug writes, Madeleine Albright is known for her infamous quote that the savage sanctions we imposed on Iraq, killing millions of Iraqi children, were worth it. She's the perfect counterexample to the argument to vote first and foremost for a woman. You know, so just a wide range of diverse opinions on this. Let me just maybe grab one. Dr. Lisa Foy, you want to jump in there?
I just think as we start, you know, pushing these media bites forward, it does really resonate with me the challenge that Clinton faces. These are things that are, you know, she carries on her shoulder in ways that are an extra burden. So it's not only that she's pushing forward as a candidate, she's pushing forward as a female candidate. And with that comes these other questions about her candidacy. I don't know, you know, if you, as someone who's supporting Hillary, if you can comment a little bit more on that. But I do feel like this is the unfair burden that we see placed not only on female voters, but on Clinton's candidacy. It's almost that we can't get a fair shake. We can't really evaluate things for the merit and the substance that they are, because this constantly kind of pushes its way in.
Yeah. As a Hillary supporter, I really wish people would comment more on the substance and comment more on what she's representing than being a woman, because I think the more we speak about her being a woman rather than her what she's passionate about, I think we hurt her.
And maybe Madeleine Albright's comments are about the fact that it hasn't happened yet. We haven't had a woman president, so we talk more about this. And here's an email from Dave saying, I'm a man and I'm voting for history. I'm voting for a woman in this race. He says she'll be a very well-qualified president, but he also says if you cannot see what a boon a woman president will be to young girls and women in this country, then you are simply not seeing this for what it really is, an historic moment in the life of our precious nation, quite in kind as to when we elected the first African-American as president. Men and women, remember, this is a time to send a message to our daughters and our granddaughters, to our wives and mothers, to our aunts, and for sure to the world. Electing a woman is not only our assent that girls and women are of equal value, but that we care about the future that we love here. Long email from Dave. That's just part of it. Mary, you want to weigh in there? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to say, you know, that with the election of President Obama, I don't think it fixed things for the black, for members of the black community. And I think in a lot of ways, Bernie Sanders' policies will affect young women in a much greater way than I feel Hillary's would. And I'm one of those who is willing to wait for Warren.
I just want to chime in and say that that particular caller's comments did resonate with me. I think there's a lot of symbolism that comes with the Clinton presidency that's very important and meaningful to women and young girls. So I get that. That is important. It's true. I'm a mom to two daughters, in addition to a women and gender studies scholar. So there's significant and large meaning here in a woman as president. I still argue that we must go back to electing the candidate based on the candidate's values, their campaign, their substance, that to introduce and put this on the shoulder of our voters and our women is complicated and flawed.
And I also feel like my four-year-old daughter and four-year-old stepdaughter are getting much more out of seeing me be active in my community, fighting for something I believe in, than they would from a woman president.
Yeah. Yes. And the question of whether or not, you know, does electing a woman president actually answer the questions and resolve the issues that are in front of us in terms of women's rights? That's an important question to ask as we go to the polls. How are we going to resolve the problems and the challenges in inequality?
Well, and let me just kind of reiterate a point that I made last week that might be totally misguided, but maybe overly hopeful. Next month on this program, it's the 8-year anniversary of President Obama's race speech, or so-called race speech, in Philadelphia as a candidate. And we've been asking people in our community to reread the text of that speech. And we're going to take a look at where we've come and where we haven't, especially on some of the specific points that then candidate and Senator Obama made at the time. And Mary's right. It didn't fix everything, maybe not fix much at the time. But I would contend that maybe what the country has needed is certain leaders who are not just white males, whether it's a woman, whether it's a black president. I'm not saying, again, just vote for a person based on this. But what I'm saying is once that happens, whether it's now or 20 terms into the future, you don't fix inequality, but you sort of force to the surface what has been sort of roiling underneath it, and then you can confront it a little bit more effectively.
Yeah,
and I think that's what we're doing. It's not easy, but I think that's happening.
You can't fix a problem unless you're able to admit that it exists.
Well, that's also fair.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who don't want to admit that. A lot of people want to say post-racial America.
It's getting much harder to deny now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, look, I feel like we could do 2 or 3 hours on this, if only we had more time. But let me thank our panelists who... And I'll just say again, I mean, we've got panelists on opposite sides of the table who are going to vote for different candidates, and I think there's nothing but respect here. And I sense a lot of respect between Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton, by the way.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Zari Kemmeré is science librarian supporting Hillary Clinton. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Mary Lupien, a Sanders delegate. Nice to see you back here. Thank you, Mary. And Dr. Barbara Lisa Voy, chair of the Women and Gender Studies program at the College of Brockport. Always nice to have you.
Oh, thanks so much, Evan. Great to be here.
I wish we could get to more of your phone calls. Great participation this hour. Short break and more connections next.